The book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 25, and we resume our study in the very first verse, verse 1 of Genesis 25. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimram, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Jokshan fathered Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leomim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanak, and Abida, and Eldaha. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had. Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward to the east country. So Abraham was kind to all his children. But out of obedience to God, his entire inheritance went to Isaac. God works the same way. He works the same way that Abraham worked, in that God is kind to all people. The Bible says he sends rain upon the fields of the just and the unjust. But his eternal inheritance is set aside for his children who have received Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years, so 175 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people doesn't mean he was buried in the same cemetery as his friends and family. It's not talking about his body. It's talking about his soul. It's talking about life after death. If you belong to Jesus, if he is your Lord and your Savior, then your Christian friends and family members are waiting for you on the other side. Now, it may be decades since you've seen them. You maybe only have seen them in old family pictures. But if they died in Christ, they're waiting for you. 9. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. Abraham is gone, but God's program goes on with his son Isaac. God's plan is bigger than any one person, even a big man of faith like Abraham. No one is indispensable. God can accomplish his will just fine without you and without me. God uses us, not because he has to, but because he wants to. Serving God isn't something we need to do for poor God. It's something we get to do. It's not a burden. It's an honor. Verse 19. Actually, let's read verse 12. I was going to skip down to verse 19, but now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bore to Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbeel, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masah, Hedah, and Tamajatur, Naphish, and Kedimah. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles. 12 princes, according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people. And they dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is before Egypt, as you go toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as a wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. It was God's will for Isaac and Rebekah to be married. It was God's will for Isaac to have children. He had to have children, or he would never be the ancestor of God's chosen people, Israel, as God promised. So why didn't God give him and Rebekah children? Why did Isaac have to pray and plead with God for 20 years before the Lord made it happen? I don't know all the reasons, but I do know that God's delays cause his people to pray, which in turn draws us closer to Christ. I really doubt that Isaac would have prayed so earnestly for 20 years if God had given him a child right away. God's delays aren't any fun. Sometimes we need them. And God always gives his children what they need. 22. And the children struggled together inside her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. Poor Rebecca. She felt like her womb was a wrestling mat. And I suppose that's because that's what it was. 23. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." She was carrying twin boys. Two boys who didn't like each other in the womb or after they came out of the womb. They were going at it, and Rebecca felt every single blow. But she's told by God that the younger, or I should say that the elder, will serve the younger, which was not normal, but that was God's will. We'll have to remember that for later on. Verse 24, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bore them." So these two boys fought about everything, as we will see later on. They even fought about who'd be the first one out of their mom. Esau, the strongest, won the battle, but Jacob was grabbing his heel all the way. And believe me, that was a sign of things to come. 27, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, stop there, hunting, fishing, and other sports. They're good. Nothing wrong with it. But Esau lived for them. So in his case, they were bad. Recreation was his god. Not Jacob. Last part of verse 27. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Jacob was the exact opposite of Esau, his brother. You know, he liked to hang out with mom. Verse 8, or 28. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And that's the recipe for family trouble. Each parent had a favorite. And it's going to lead to a big family split a little later on. 29. And Jacob sod pottage. In other words, he cooked stew. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray you, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom, which means red. Esau lived for his appetites. And since he's hungry, really hungry, Jacob has food, Jacob is in a perfect position to manipulate him. People who think with their appetites instead of Scripture can be easily manipulated and therefore make poor leaders. So character does matter when it comes to leadership. 31. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." Now, the birthright included a double portion of the father's inheritance. It included the responsibility of caring for the family and the spiritual needs of the rest of the family as well. The son with the birthright would become the family priest, something that did not interest worldly Esau at all. So, 32, and Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Jacob should have given his hungry brother food for free and just trusted God to give him the birthright if he wanted him to have it. God doesn't need us to act unchristian to accomplish his will in us. We just make things more difficult than they have to be by doing that. 34. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Despising the birthright with all of its spiritual responsibilities wasn't Esau's problem. Really wasn't. It was just a symptom. The real problem was that Esau didn't care about God or his own immortal soul. The problem with people who do not pray or read the Bible or go to a church that teaches the Word of God, excuse me, or do not behave correctly. The problem with them isn't that they don't pray or read their Bible and so forth. Those are just symptoms. The real problem is that they are spiritually dead. They need Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They've never repented and asked Jesus to save them from hell and to be the Lord of their life. When a person with wrong priorities or behavior problems repents and asks Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, God begins to work on the symptoms and begins to correct those things. We'll stop here. Pick it up next time in chapter 26.